If you have your copy of God's Word, if you please turn there to the book of Luke, chapter 8. And if you can stand, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word tonight. Luke, chapter 8. We'll start with verse 43. Luke, chapter 8, and verse 43. And here the Bible says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody's touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Lord, I'm asking you now to help me for a few minutes to be able to preach on this text. God, just keep me out of the flesh and in your word tonight, and may you just do a mighty work in our hearts tonight. These things I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Well, of course, we know this scene takes place right in the middle of another scene that's taking place. If you start at the beginning of this, right before this happened there, a few verses up, we see there's another man that's came to Jesus, also has a problem. His name was Jairus. He's the ruler of the synagogue, and he's a man of great respect, a man with great power there in Capernaum. This is where it's at. He's in Capernaum. And by the way, that was where Jesus usually had most of his ministry while he was here for that 3 1/3 years or so that we know about his earthly ministry. He spent most of his time there, kind of made his headquarters in Capernaum. But here we have him in the middle of this scene with this man that's came to him looking for help. And this man's come to him, and he's got a little daughter. She's 12 years old, and she's dying. She's sick, and she's near death. And the only source that this man knows to go to is Jesus. He knows that Jesus is the source he needs. He has faith in Jesus. And so he seeks him out in the middle of all this huge crowd that's out there thronging Jesus at this time. Jesus right now, there are people following him everywhere. He's got great crowds of people. Everywhere he goes, they're following him. They're running to get ahead so they can be there when he gets there. They hear he's going to be somewhere, and they make plans to go there. And so they're always looking to be around Jesus. Well, this man, this is his opportunity to see that his daughter might get healed. And so he goes with faith to be able to call upon Jesus to take him to his house or to ask him to heal his daughter. And suddenly, out of nowhere, here comes this woman. And she interrupts everything. And she don't think that anybody's going to notice her. She creeps in through all the crowd not to be seen. And she don't even confront Jesus face to face. But she comes up behind him and she reaches out. And I don't know if she's down on her knees or where she's at. I've always imagined her down on her knees, crawling through the crowd, trying to get close to Jesus so she can grab a hem of that garment, because she believes in Jesus. And she knows if she can just touch the hem of that garment, just like it said in her text, if she can just touch the hem of his garment, that she could be healed. She has that much faith in him. And so she comes there in the middle of all this. She has also got a bad problem. I want to give you a parallel between these two individuals that's both come seeking for help from Jesus. First of all, we have Jairus. We've already said it, a man. He's highly esteemed. He's respected. He has great wealth. But on the other side, we have the woman. Her name's not given. It's just called the woman. Mark calls her a certain woman. We don't have to know her name. It's not important. But this woman, she's not like Jairus. In fact, this woman's looked down upon. She is not highly esteemed. In fact, she's rejected. And she's not rich like he is. She's flat broke now. At one time, she perhaps had some money. But she spent it all now, trying to get something to cure the disease that she has. So she's flat broke. Jairus, he's a ruler of a synagogue with a great position. You might call him a somebody. But this woman, the certain woman, she's been banned from the synagogue because of her disease. She can't go in there. In fact, she's not supposed to be here now. She should not be around all these people. She should not be touching people. She shouldn't be anywhere around there, but she is. And so she is not a part of the synagogue. And you might call her a nobody. Jairus is a somebody, but she is considered a nobody. Jairus has a 12-year-old daughter that's sick and dying. And this woman, she has an issue of blood for 12 years. And she is also sick And she's also dying. She's dying. So it is in these two cases right here, we see a vast realm of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see him go from a nobody to a somebody, and everybody in between all of that, he didn't make any preferences here. He treated both of these people the very same way. They both have a major problem. They both come with great faith seeking Jesus to help them. They both are treated the exact same way by Jesus. He has love and he has compassion and he has grace on both of them. He made no preferences. He didn't say, well, I need to take, hold on a minute. I need to take care of Jairus. He's the leader of the synagogue now. He's a bigger man than you. He's a somebody. I got to take care of him, and I'll get to you when I can. Now, that's how people are today. Hey, the people who look at you today, if they see somebody that may be well off and somebody that's not, they're going to go over here and look at this guy that's well off, this guy that's dressed good, this guy that talks right, this guy that looks like somebody you want to be around. But this person over here, we want to ignore them. Maybe we'll get to them if we have time after we spend our time with this person that we hold in high esteem. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't make any preferences among anybody. From the very least to the very greatest, they're all the same to Jesus. And so in verse 43, it said, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." So there it is. She's the infamous woman with the issue of blood. She'll forever be known in the annals of history as that certain woman with the issue of blood. That's what she's known as. She's not going to be known as anything else. And here, like I said, her name is not given. It's not mentioned. But it's not necessary that we know it. It's not necessary that anybody knows your name. As long as the Lord Jesus knows your name. That's what's important here. So this lady, she's not named. It could be anyone. It could be somebody that you know, somebody that you love, somebody in your family. It could be you that we're looking at here tonight. She represents all of mankind, the poor, the downtrodden, those less fortunate than the others, those that are in need of something. She represents all of this. But she had this incurable blood disease. Not for just a little while. She's had it 12 years. 12 years. That's a long time to be suffering from this. She spent every last penny she's had going to the doctors. She went to this doctor. She went to that doctor. She heard this guy over here was a blood specialist. She went to him. She gave him all the money she had. And he couldn't heal her. They tried everything on her, but the Bible says, although she paid all of her money out to all these physicians, none of them can help her. In fact, her condition got worse. It just kept getting worse. The more she tried, the worse it got. Nobody could help her. Mark 5:26 said, "And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." So she's getting worse and worse every day. She's down to her wit's end at this point in her life. She has no life, in fact. She's a living dead person at this point. By the law, she's not even supposed to be around people because she's considered unclean. The Bible in Leviticus 15:25 gives us the law there that she had to be upheld to. We'll read that in just a second, but let's get to verse 44. It said, "Came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched." This lady, she's desperate for help. So desperate, she's willing to go out there illegally and mix among this crowd and hopefully not be seen and get the cure that she's looking for. And she knows Jesus has that cure. Now, notice what she does. She wants to touch the border of his garment. She didn't want to touch his hand. She didn't want to touch his face. She didn't want to touch his feet. She didn't want to touch his arms or his legs. She wanted to touch just the hem of his garment. Now, down at the hem of the garments of these men, like Jesus would have been wearing this long robe, and they would have had a blue little border that was sewed around the bottom of it. And on that little blue border, this was one of the laws that was given out of how they were to dress. And this meant that you were being faithful to God. The Pharisees, you know, those guys, they increased the size of that border to make themselves look more holy and religious. Well, Jesus had this same type of thing, a little blue piece sewed around the bottom of it. That's what she wants to get to. She wants to grab that little piece on the bottom of that garment because she knows that Jesus has the power to heal her. If she could just touch that, then she could be healed. Over in Leviticus 15:25, she says, the Bible says, "And if a woman have an issue of blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanliness shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lies, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even." Look, this lady has been unclean for 12 years. She's been considered the scourge for 12 years. Don't go around that lady. She couldn't go around nobody. She couldn't go into the temple and worship. She couldn't go around people. She couldn't just live a normal life like everybody else. And she's been doing this for 12 years in a miserable condition, a wretch of a woman without any hope. That is, until she heard the name Jesus. She had no hope until she heard the name Jesus. The Bible's very clear on that. Over in Mark in 5:27, the Bible says, "When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." She has this much faith in him. Hey, Jesus is famous right now. People are, like I've already said, they're flocking him. They're thronging him. They're all over him. And no doubt the stories have been told. You'll never believe what this Jesus has done. He's healing people. He's restoring sight to the blind. The lame man can walk again. He's raising people from the dead. He's doing this and he's doing that. And this lady hears that name Jesus, and suddenly she's got hope again. She's gave up on having any hope until this point when she hears Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. And she heard that name Jesus, and she says, this is the man that I've got to get something done about the problem that I have. And so she finds him. Now, can you imagine what it must have been like for this woman when she first heard that name Jesus? How that glimmer of hope must have rose up within her heart. How she's been going through every day, probably depressed, sick, crying, wondering how she's going to keep going on, when her time is going to come to an end. And she's just, and all of a sudden she hears that name Jesus, and how that hope must have welled up inside of her, and how it must have gave her such a thrill to think that maybe this is finally going to come to an end. Oh, how wonderful it must have been. And she knew within Jesus she could have life again. And listen, she had no business being there. She had no business being. She certainly didn't have any business getting close to Jesus like she did. It was bad enough that she was in the condition she was, but the woman just didn't go up and start touching on a man like that, out in public like that. It just wasn't heard of. But she didn't really think anybody was going to know it. She was just coming up trying to grab the bottom of that garment as he walked by. And so, don't you find it interesting that this woman only wanted to touch the clothing of Jesus? Only wanted to touch the clothing. Now, that sounds strange to us because we certainly don't put any stock and any power in a piece of clothing. Now, I know there are religions that do that today. Today, you can go and you can get one of those phony balonies on TV, and listen, I could take my hanky right here if I was a phony baloney TV preacher, and I'd wipe the sweat off my brow, cough in this thing a few times, cut it up in about 100 pieces, and sell it to you. And they're doing that, friends. Send you this little piece of cloth off of here. It's been anointed now. And you pray over that and then see maybe what kind of donation you might want to send my ministry. And people are doing that today. Listen, we don't put no stock in this piece of cloth. We don't put any stock in any piece of clothing. But I want you to know that this woman came wanting to touch the clothing of Jesus, wanting to touch the hem of his garment. And she knows the reason is because Jesus is the one wearing this garment. Jesus is the one that has the power. It's not his clothes that heals her. The clothes is just what Jesus had on. It's just the thing that the power, when he says, "I perceive the power has gone from me," he understands, he knew she was there. But this power of his has came through here, and this clothing with nothing special. It's like everybody else wore. You could go down to Walmart and buy you a piece of clothing, same way. And so this clothing really had no power in it, unless Jesus is wearing it. The difference is, when Jesus wore the clothes, when Jesus gets into something, it's different. It's different. You see, there's a difference when Jesus gets in something. The same as there's a change in you. When Jesus moved into your heart, you became different. When Jesus moved into my heart, I became different. I'm no longer the same. When Jesus puts on a piece of clothing, it's different now If Brother Byron put it on, it would have no healing power. But Jesus, when he puts it on, it's got some healing power through Jesus Christ. Now, turn quickly over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. You're going to find this is not just a one-off thing. This happened often, actually. Mark 6 and 53, we're going to find that Jesus, he's crossed over there to the land of I always miss this word up, Gennesaret. Excuse me. The Bible says in Mark 6 and 53, and when they had passed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whatsoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid their sick in their streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Look, these people were out there. They were sick. They were lame. They couldn't walk. They had all kinds of problems. But when they heard that Jesus was in their midst, what'd they do? They come out from everywhere, crawling out from every rock, out of every house, out of everywhere they could come from, and they were bringing the sick because Jesus was passing through. He didn't have to go through touching them, or making spitballs like he did for some people, or doing any of this stuff. You know what? He just walked by, and they knew if just the bottom of his garment would just brush by them, they could be healed. And so they were bringing everybody out of there. These people in Gennesaret, they were just like the woman at Capernaum. After they touched the clothing of Jesus, they were made whole. But the reason wasn't because of the piece of cloth. It was because of the man that was wearing the cloth. It was Jesus. Now, after the woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment, the Bible says in our opening text there in Luke 8 and 44, at the last part, it says, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. In other words, it stopped. She quit having the problem. The disease was gone. It completely stopped this flow of blood. Mark 5 and 29 said, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Matthew 9 and 22 said, and the woman was made whole from that hour. So after suffering 12 long, excruciating years, this woman's misery has now been erased in a fleeting moment, in just a matter of seconds, by touching the hem of the cloth of Jesus. She is now made whole. Made whole. Made whole. Don't let that pass by you, that word whole right there. There's more to it than just this, and I'll talk about it in a minute. But this woman, she's been changed now. 12 years and suddenly changed in a moment. How many of you tonight, and I've heard almost everybody's testimony in here, how many of you here tonight remember when you were changed in just a moment? It's a time that you will never forget about. It's a time that changed your life. It changed you as a person altogether. I'll never forget when I came down to that old altar and I knelt down and I prayed and I asked the Lord to save me. Friends, in a moment, I was changed. I didn't have to sit here and work something up. I didn't have to do a certain thing. I didn't have to spend days and weeks building up to something to be saved, to be changed. But it happened immediately in a moment when I realized I was a lost sinner and I asked the Lord to save me in a moment. This lady right here, 12 years now erased in a moment. 12 years of misery erased in a moment. Look, these people today going through such awful things. I don't know what you may be going through. You may be going through a trial, and you've not told anybody about it. You know, we're good at keeping secrets from people. When there's something going on, we don't like to talk about it. We don't want anybody to know about it. Some people go to the hospital and don't want anybody to know about it, so they won't visit them. We go through things. We go through things, and look, I know we have problems. And people only understood the greatest need that we have today is to know about this Jesus who can make a change in your life in just a moment. In just a moment. I was doing some studying about current statistics in suicides. Friends, it's getting terrible these days. You don't hear about it that much in the news, but I want you to know if you start studying about it, you're going to find that people today are going through all kinds of problems, and their only answer that they can find is to kill themselves, is to commit suicide, to put it out of their misery, and they think that's their only way out. We got people today that's lost their jobs. They've lost their families. They're going through divorces. They're going through money problems, bankruptcy, and all these things that's going on in their lives. And they think the only way out is if they just take their own life. They've got this big Jesus-shaped hole in their heart, and they don't know what it is. They don't know what peace it is that goes in that hole in their heart. And so they're looking for some way to fill that void, that emptiness, that hole that's in their heart. What they don't know is that it's shaped like Jesus, and it'll fit right in there, and it'll change everything for them. We don't have to think that killing ourselves is our only thing that we can do in our lives. Friends, because Jesus is there for us. He loves us. He cares for us. He says to cast all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. And listen, I was looking at these statistics. It says there's an average of 121 people that kill themselves every single day in the United States of America. 121 people every single day. Do you know what that adds up to? Hey, I'm not a mathematician, but I've got a calculator. 44,165 Americans take their lives every single year. 44,165. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people out there that are wandering around looking for something to fill up that hole that's missing inside of their heart, that hole that they need to fill up with the Lord Jesus. I read this article in USA Today website 2 days ago. 2 days ago this came out. Listen to this headline. America sees alarming spike in middle school suicide rate. Middle school students killing themselves. A spike in it. Listen what it said. The suicide rate among 10 to 14-year-olds doubled between 2007 and 2014. For the first time, surpassing the death rate of that age group from car crashes, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. In 2014 alone, 425 middle schoolers nationwide took their own lives. It's alarming. We're even getting cases involving 8- and 9-year-olds, said Clark Flatt, who started the Jason Foundation in Tennessee 20 years ago to help educate teachers about teen suicide after his 16-year-old son took his own life. He says it's scary. This isn't an emerging problem. It's here. Researchers, educators, and psychologists say several factors: increased pressure on students to achieve academically, more economic uncertainty, increased fear of terrorism, and social media are behind the rise in suicides among the young. Look, is there any wonder why such things are going on today? Look, I know there's people that have problems. They've got mental problems. There's real legitimate mental illnesses and diseases that causes people to not be able to think straight. I understand that. I know that. But I'm telling you what, friends, the biggest majority of people today that think the only way out of this world, out of this the misery that they're in, is to take their own life, they don't know who Jesus is. They don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ to help them through this. These little kids right here, 14 years old, the only thing they can think of is to kill themselves. 14 years old. When I was 14, I was running the fields and riding bicycles, and I was living life to the fullest. It would have never, ever, ever occurred to me to kill myself. That'd been the last thing ever that I would ever have thought of, no matter how bad things might have gotten. Of course, I know I lived a great life, had a great family, had a great upbringing. But friends, I want you to know that was never even in the equation. But children today, 9 years old, 8, 9, 12, 14, killing themselves because they think that's the only way out. Only help for them. But you look around at churches today. Where's all those kids? Did you look at the Sunday school classes this morning? Where's all those kids? If you go around and knock on these doors in this neighborhood on a Sunday morning when church is starting, you know where those kids are? They're in the bed. They're in front of the TV. They're in front of the computer. They're in front of the video game. They'll get up later. They'll go out to eat. They'll go to the mall. They'll go to the movies. But they're not going to the house of God. And then we wonder why in the world was their only option to kill themselves. Listen, we can put that blame squarely on the shoulders of the church today, of Christians today, of people that are not taking their children to church. They don't know anything about Jesus. The most important thing today for people is making money and having a position, playing a sport. And these are the things that are driving people today. But I want you to know you could be the greatest success in all those things. But if you don't have Jesus, you're going to be the biggest failure that ever lived. If you don't have Jesus, you will die. You will go to hell. But I want you to know, just like this woman with the issue of blood, 12 years in misery, a walking dead woman, in a moment, in just a fleeting, twinkling second, in the blinking of an eye, her whole life changed. 12 years of misery erased in a moment. It can be the same for people today. Maybe they don't have this blood disease she had, but maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something else that's just weighing them down. It's got them dragging around like a ball and chain. It's upon their shoulders, and they think that there's nothing else they can do. They need to know about Jesus. Look at verse 4. 45, I mean. Verse 45, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Look, Jesus is just asking this question. It's just really a rhetorical question. He knows who touched him. He knows all. He sees all. He knows everything. But yet he asked the question, "Who touched me?" What he's doing, he's giving this woman the opportunity here to confess him before all these people. He's given her the opportunity now that she's been made whole. Keep that those thoughts in your mind. She's been made whole. He's given her the opportunity now to tell people that she's been made whole. That now she's been changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of eye, the last 12 years have been erased, and now she has changed. And so he's given her this opportunity. Look at verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. There it is. She confessed him before all these men. He's healed me. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole." Go in peace. Do you see that? "Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." You need to understand right here, this woman has received much more than just the healing of a blood disease. She's received much more than just that. You see, she was going to look for a cure for what the problem was. But what she didn't know was she had an even greater problem, and that problem was she needed the Lord Jesus. But the Bible says she had faith, and the Lord said, "Your faith, thy faith has made thee whole." Made the whole. Friends, that word "whole" right there, it comes from a Greek word called sozo, which means to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. Do you see what's happened here? She's received much more than just a cure for that sickness she had. In fact, she's received eternal life. She's now been made whole by the Lord Jesus, because by faith she came and trusted him to do for her what she needed to be done. And just like today, by faith, by God's grace through faith, we can be saved. By her faith, here she's been made whole. And so it's a picture of salvation, pure and simple here. Also notice he did not say, "My robe made thee whole," or "My clothes made thee whole," or "That garment, that little blue thing around the bottom of my garment made you whole." No, he said, "Thy faith has made thee whole." Thy faith has made thee whole. Here this woman, she was worthless. She was a lawbreaker. She was shunned by everyone around her. She was destitute. She was dying. Look, I was no different than this woman. Even at 6 years old, I was all those things too. If you've not been saved, you're all those things too. You're dying. You're destitute. You're on your way. You're bound for hell tonight. But in a moment, the Lord can change all of that. By faith, he can make you whole. Just like this woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, when I heard that name Jesus, when A.G. Hall stood behind the pulpit and he preached about the Lord Jesus and said that we needed to be saved or we was going to go to hell to pay for our sins, and the Lord Jesus convicted through the Holy Spirit, convicted my heart that I was lost at 6 years old, that I was lost. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to trust Jesus as my Savior. And he told me that Jesus was the one that could save me. And they gave the altar call, and I came down that altar and I knelt down and I prayed and I told the Lord I wanted to be saved. Save me. I was a lost sinner and needed to be saved. They didn't have to convince me of it. They didn't have to sit here and make me repeat words. They didn't make me say 1, 2, 3 or raise my hand or anything. I was purely convicted by the Holy Spirit that I was lost and needed a Savior, and I got saved. And in a moment, I was changed. In a moment, I was changed. And I've never went back to being unchanged. I've been made whole. I've been saved. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, realize you were a lost sinner, repented of your sins, and trusted Jesus to save you, the Bible says, call on the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Then you were saved in a moment. And you remain being saved every day. The Lord Jesus saves us. He keeps us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit seals us unto the day of redemption. And when I think of that, I always think about that seal on those cans when Mom used to can. And they sat on that counter, and we'd sit there and we'd hear those little lids go ting, ting, and we know they were sealed up. And we could put them down in the basement, store them, go out on a winter, down in the winter, go get one of those things out of there. And you know what? Pop that thing off because it was sealed on there, and it was fresh. It's just like it was. And I know that's a bad analogy because I know when he seals this, it's like the sealing of the king's signet ring upon her heart that can't be broken and only broken by the Lord Jesus or by God that owns it. But listen, that's the way I think of it. And I think when I got saved, the Lord Jesus sealed me. Maybe sealed me like one of them old ball jars with that lid on it. Sealed me like that. And one day when I reach heaven, you know what? Sealed unto the day of redemption. And I'm going to be standing in front of the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to look upon the one that saved me by his grace. I'm going to look upon the one that hung on the cross of Calvary and shed every drop of his blood. I'm going to look upon the one that come down and he touched my heart and he convicted me. I was a lost sinner bound for hell. I'm going to stand in front of the one and I'm going to praise his name. And I'm going to say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Oh, and I'm going to spend time with him in heaven. I don't know what all we're going to do up there, but I know it's going to go on and on and on and on. It'll never end, and we'll be praising the Lord Jesus, and we'll be shouting, we'll be singing, and around that throne up there of God. Oh, what a time that's going to be. They sing, what a day that's going to be. Oh, friends, what a day that'll be. And it all happened in a moment. In a moment. I want to say to you tonight, if you've never known the Lord Jesus, if you've never trusted him as your Savior, you have this huge Jesus-shaped hole in your heart. And the only thing that can fill it is the peace that goes in there, and it's the Lord Jesus. It's the only thing that can fill that hole. It's the only thing that can make you whole. It's the only thing that can